Hi, it's Sydney, a chemistry student that's decided to share what I learn about polymers with others because they're really important to our lives in so many ways. So, with that being said, I have an important question to ask you. Have you ever wondered what your shampoo bottle is made of? Or maybe what your grocery bag is made from? Well, I did, and that's why I made today's episode. So if you guessed polyethylene for the answers to those questions, then you would be correct. And as a bonus, you can also read and remember a podcast title, so that's cool too. Anyways, this week I'm going to be discussing polyethylene and covering how it's made, what the different types of polyethylene are, and what it is used for. But before we get into all the hard chemistry stuff, let's just start by covering the basics and the history. Polyethylene is a man-made polymer that is one of the most common plastic materials in use today. It is made from repeat monomers of two carbons and four hydrogens, C2H4, and is synthesized from individual monomers of ethylene, a molecule with the formula C2H4, hence the name polyethylene, or many ethylenes, as the translation. Polyethylene was discovered multiple times by various people, and in the classic science way that so many important things are discovered, these various scientists first made it by accident. The first known synthesis of polyethylene was in 1898 by Hans von Peckmann when he was doing research on diazomethane. Diazomethane is unstable and very reactive, and when it decomposed, Peckmann found a new substance. He and his colleagues determined it was a chain of CH2 groups strung together and named it polymethylene. Today, we understand this discovery was the first synthesis of polyethylene, though. While that discovery was interesting, it never really amounted to much application, and it was not until 1933 when Eric Fawcett and Reginald Gibson were doing work for Imperial Chemical Industries that polyethylene was rediscovered and really put to use. They were doing reactions with benzaldehyde, a pretty common industrial reagent, and ethylene, and found an unknown white waxy material had formed in addition to other desired products. It was later determined this product was polyethylene, and the reaction to make it had occurred due to a small amount of oxygen being present in the reaction vessel. That oxygen catalyzed the reaction to make polyethylene. For reference, a catalyst is a compound that does not directly go into making product in a reaction, but instead is present to make the reaction easier to achieve by lowering the amount of energy or effort needed to make the products from the reagents. So, the trace amounts of oxygen in the reaction vessel made the polymerization reaction occur, and without oxygen there, it would not have. Eventually, this process of polyethylene creation was improved, and polyethylene got its first major use in World War II. So, although that synthesis method did create polyethylene, it required pretty immense heating and pressure, and making it was just a possible safety hazard and less good for large-scale production because of those conditions. So it was not until the 1950s, when new polyethylene catalysts were discovered, that polyethylene was produced at such a large consumer scale. The catalysts being pioneered in the 1950s all involved metal centers and created polyethylene at much lower temperatures and pressures, thus making these reactions preferable. In fact, one of the scientists that worked on polyethylene catalysis, Carl Ziegler, went on to win a Nobel Prize in chemistry for his contributions to the field. In the 1970s, one more important discovery was made in polyethylene synthesis reactions, metallocene catalysts. Metallocenes are metal-based catalysts but have different properties and thus different catalytic application than the types of catalysts Ziegler pioneered. All this history brings us to today, where parts of many of these methods are used to make polyethylene. Actually, one can make different types of polyethylene based on the type of synthesis reaction used. So for today, I'm going to focus on the two most common types of polyethylene, high-density polyethylene, or HDPE, and low-density polyethylene, also known as LDPE. HDPE is polyethylene that is mostly linear in structure. This means all the polymer chains are pretty much just lines of carbons. The linearity of HDPE is actually what makes it higher density. Since things that are linear fit tighter together better than things that are not, HDPE can have more polyethylene chains in a given volume than polyethylene formed from nonlinear structures. One could think about this property as a difference between packing pencils in a box and packing sticks in a box. Pencils are straight with nothing coming off of them, so they can fit in a box quite nicely, while sticks have small bits coming off of them and knobs, and so do not fit together nicely and bump around a lot. And so in one size of box, one could fit just more pencils than sticks in it. HDPE is often synthesized using Ziegler-Nata catalysts. These are the metal-based catalysts from the 1950s I mentioned earlier. It is a relatively stiff plastic that maintains some flex and is even FDA compliant, meaning it can be used in food and packaging drugs safely. It is also cheap and easy to process into usable forms. Because of all of these really favorable properties, HDPE is super common in household items. Just walking through my house, I found that my shampoo bottle, my face wash bottle, and my bottle of ibuprofen all were made from HDPE. So if you want to find HDPE around your house, simply look for opaque white bottles with the recycling number 2 on the bottom, along with the letters HDPE. But despite all of these great properties, high-density polyethylene does have some problems that make it not ideal for all applications. For instance, it has high stiffness but also maintains some flexibility in it. While this property makes it amazing for some applications, it also means that if someone wanted a plastic that was very inflexible or very flexible for a task, HDPE would not be the first choice. Second, it is not very resistant to UV and heat damage. Similarly to human skin, if HDPE is exposed to too many UV rays, it can degrade. Thus, HDPE is not ideal for long-term outdoor plastic uses. Low-density polyethylene can cover some of these purposes that HDPE is not great for, though. While it also has poor UV resistance, LDPE is super flexible, and manufacturers have decided to make plastic materials with specifically desired flexibility out of LDPE as a result. Like HDPE, low-density polyethylene is FDA compliant and very cheap and easy to process, making it applicable for uses in many applications. To spot LDPE, one should look for translucent materials with a recycling number 4 on the bottom. Plastic trash bags and films on plastic foods are often made of LDPE, for instance. LDPE is lower density due to the fact that the molecular structure has branching. This means some carbons might have 2 chains of ethylene monomers extending off of them instead of just one linear line. Thus, LDPE has a more 2D or 3D structure, making it pack together less well and causing it to have lower density. To make these branched ethylene chains, LDPE is synthesized at really high pressures with free radical polymerization. Free radical polymerization uses chain polymerization and radicals to propagate and create the polymer. Because radicals can and will attack most things in the structure to attain a bond, the free radical polymerization creates a branch structure as a result. There's actually another type of LDPE called linear low-density polyethylene that's quite popular. Linear low-density polyethylene, or LLDPE, is linear like HDPE. However, it is made from ethylene along with other longer chain reagents like butene, a 4-carbon chain with 1 double bond at the end. With these reagents, a metal-based catalyst is used to stitch them together and make the polymer that is linear but also low density. LLDPE has pretty much all of the desired products of low-density polyethylene without some of the other problems it has. Thus, linear low-density polyethylene is slowly replacing low-density polyethylene. To find LLDPE around the house, you should search for materials with recycling number 2 that are translucent but with a white color to them. Other types of polyethylene you might hear about are ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene, or UHMWPE, or cross-linked polyethylene, PEX. Polyethylene forms can also be mixed with each other to form a new types of polyethylene. For instance, mixing high-density and low-density polyethylene forms medium-density polyethylene. Or polyethylene types can be mixed with other types of plastics entirely to form blends. Additionally, before synthesis is even done, ethylene can be mixed with other types of monomers and polymerized together to form what is called a copolymer. In the end, the goal of all these different forms of polyethylene is to slightly change the physical properties of the plastic material in order to make the material better for a specific use. So, once someone makes a polyethylene compound or resin, how is that then converted into a consumer product? Well, the process of making polymer resins into plastic depends on the type of polyethylene used. The most common methods of molding and forming polyethylene also happen to be the most common methods of forming plastic materials in general. They are called extrusion and injection molding. Extrusion is a method in which a plastic is heated, melted, then forced continuously into a die and allowed to cool as it leaves the die. A die is just terminology for a mold in a given shape here. So, extrusion is the most common way to make plastic films, and this is important to know as films are a huge use of plastic in our modern world. Films are just very thin pieces of plastic, like what you might find in a plastic bag. And they're used everywhere, but especially useful in food packaging and storage. To make films by extrusion, a thicker plastic material comes out of the die and the extrusion device, and it is then subjected to higher pressures. Since the plastic is still warm, it will expand and become thin at these higher pressures, thus making a film. This process is pretty similar to what happens when you blow up a balloon. The walls are thick at the beginning, but as you blow up the balloon and apply pressure to the inside, the balloon expands and the walls get thinner. Because extrusion molding is so commonly used to make plastic films, it is the more common method for molding LDPE, since LDPE is flexible and used in plastic film applications as a result. The other type of molding, injection molding, is a non-continuous process where plastic is melted and put into a mold and allowed to fully cool in the mold to form a given shape. It is an ideal process for something that needs to be recreated many times in the exact same way because a mold can be reused to make the plastic item again and again. HDPE can be processed into plastic material through extrusion, but it is also commonly injection molded because its rigidity upon setting makes molds shape well to it. All of this information about making of polyethylene then brings us to how it gets disposed of. Polyethylene is recyclable, but it is not biodegradable, meaning it will either get recycled or end up living in a landfill for a really long time. Even the recycling of polyethylene is not always great because it can only be mechanically recycled right now, so the properties of the recycled material will get worse over time. So we as scientists will need to figure out better methods of recycling and disposing of polyethylene in order to limit plastic waste in landfills and also oceans in the future. Let's just hope we get to that recycling technology sooner rather than later. Polyethylene is such an important material to our lives today, but like any plastic, it has some obvious environmental drawbacks, and we just need to acknowledge those when we use it and be aware of those for our future. Anyways, that's all I have to discuss about polyethylene for today. So thank you for listening, and I hope you have a fantastic week.